Today is the day that we, during our Bible class this morning, presented the budget for 2026. And in doing that, we have set forth our plan for the coming year, the amount of money that we need to take in every week to operate. If you were not here for the Bible class period and you did not get a copy of that budget, if you will see Dale Fincher or Larry Malloy following services this morning, they will be sure to give you a copy of our budget for 2026. To be sure, it is important that we meet the financial needs of the church. So since we presented the budget this morning, convention dictates that the lesson this morning, the sermon this morning, that during the worship hour we preach a sermon on giving. So what you're expecting right now is that I tell you to turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, where Paul said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, and that's going to be our text this morning. Well, it's not. Surprise, surprise, as Gomer used to say. Traditionally, that's what we'd talk about. And more often than not, that's where preachers take their text from on the Sunday the budget is presented. And we talk about the Jews and how under that old law, the Jews were required to give a minimum of a tithe or a tenth, and how we've got a better hope and better promises and a better covenant, and we should be willing to give so much more than that. We'd talk about our better promises, and then we'd come up with some ways how that, you know, just $1 or $2 per person would make such a big difference. Just buy the Lord a meal, a number one meal at Whataburger, or go to McDonald's and buy him a Happy Meal. Some of you remember the sermons through the years with those illustrations, don't you? Well, this morning, that's not the direction we're going to go. This morning, our text is going to come from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. Because that's a passage that's been going through my mind constantly almost since I thought about what I preach on today. Because if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. That's the traditional rendering of that passage in the King James Version. Here's Philip's translation of that same passage. Nor was their gift, as I must confess I had expected, a mere cash payment. Are you listening? Instead, they made a complete dedication of themselves, first to the Lord, and then to us, as God's ministers. Did you notice what the passage says? They first gave their own selves to the Lord. They made a complete dedication of themselves to the Lord. That was the very first thing that they did. Now, if you read the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you'll notice that Paul there is praising the early Macedonian Christians. And he's praising them in words that are remarkably gracious and words that are heartening. You see, if you read the scriptures, you realize that praise coming from the Apostle Paul is always something that was noteworthy. Paul was not prone to flattery. And Paul was not prone to hyperbole. Paul was, as we would say, a straight shooter. He was direct. Sometimes he was actually brutally honest with those he was talking to or writing to. If there was a need for people to be rebuked, Paul was not a man that was afraid to rebuke people. But in these Macedonian Christians, what Paul finds there is a very unusual case of devotion to Jesus Christ. An unusual case of sacrifice to Christ. And in that passage, he commends them. He commends them with words that fairly breathe with beauty. Because you see, those Macedonian Christians, those people were suffering hardships themselves. They had actually been reduced to poverty themselves. But out of their poverty and out of their affliction, they gathered together an offering for needy Christians that were far, far away. Though they themselves were in dire distress, they gave their offerings voluntarily, and they gave their offerings joyfully. And because of their commitment and because of their generosity, they are commended by the great Apostle Paul. You see, what we need to see in our day and time, we need to see the point of Paul's praise. And we need to see it clearly. And the point of Paul's praise is that no man and no woman can please Jesus Christ and do His will until they make Him Lord of their life. We cannot please the Lord until we unreservedly lay everything on the altar for Him. We can't please the Lord until we do as those Macedonian Christians did and first give ourselves to the Lord. And when we lay our lives on the altar for Jesus Christ, when we give Him everything we've got, when we decide that we're going to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Master of all of our lives, then all other service for Jesus is easy. And all other service for Jesus is natural. But first, we've got to make Him Lord of our lives. And as you've heard said from this pulpit so many, many times, if Jesus is not Lord and Master of all of our life, Jesus is not Lord and Master at all in our life. But as long as we propose to serve God with little driblets of money and little driblets of time and little driblets of commitment or service here and there, our Christian life is going to be impaired. And our Christian influence is going to be insufficient. And it's going to be inadequate. It's going to be stunted and misrepresented. But folks, when we as Christians, when we as the people of God, when we faithfully comprehend the truth that living the Christian life calls for the actual giving of our lives to the one who gave His life for us, when we comprehend that, then 1,000 smaller questions of our service to God are settled in that one moment. and they're settled once and for all. There are two very simple but practical, vital truths that are seen in this story of the Macedonian Christians. And one of those is the cause of Jesus Christ. The church that Jesus purchased with His blood must be the most important thing in our lives. Those early Christians put the cause of Christ first in their lives. And my friends, it must be first in our lives also. And is that not altogether worthy of praise? Is that not consistent and necessary? I'd put that question to every person in this room this morning. Where should the cause of Christ be put by the friends of Jesus Christ? Untold mischief comes into our lives when we fail to make Jesus the Lord of our lives. When we fail to put Him and His cause and His church first in our lives. With those Macedonian Christians, Jesus was the heart and the center of their thought and their activity. And Jesus should be at the heart and the center of all of our thought and our activity also. Often, the most superficial views of the Christian life are taken by Christians. What is the supreme thing to be laid on the altar for the kingdom of God? And it's clearly pointed out by those Macedonian Christians. The supreme thing to be laid on the altar for God is putting the cause of Christ as the very first thing in our thinking and our way of life. Literally, it's to put the Lord first and to put the church first in our lives. And it is then to build around that. To build around the Lord and to build around the church as the center of all of our thought and all of our activity. Paul writes to those Macedonian, to those Corinthian Christians, and he points up the example of the Macedonian Christians, and he says, they're pointing the way for you. They're showing you how to do it. They're showing you what must be done and what we must do. What we must do is to make the Christian life, our Christian life, our Christian example, something of ever-growing happiness and ever-increasing triumph and victory over the world around us. There is no way on the top side of God's green earth right now. There is no way to fathom. There is no way to know how our world would be changed, how our world would be transformed, if you and I as Christians learned how to really, really put the Lord first in our lives. We need to learn to do that. We need to put the cause of Christ, we need to put the church that Jesus shed His blood for, we need to put that first in every aspect of our lives. Jesus Christ and the church are not to be put off in a corner somewhere and treated like a stepchild. We're not to treat the church and Jesus as neglected and unloved and in the way. One of the greatest needs of our day and time is for Christian people to put the Lord and to put the church first in their lives. Remember what Jesus said in that great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:33? Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you." Those people were so anxious. They were anxious about so many things. Jesus said, "Which of you by your anxiety and which of you by your worrying is going to add one cubit to your stature?" Which of you by worrying is going to change the status of your bank account? Seek the kingdom of God first, and then all these things you worry about, God's going to take care of. The call of Jesus then, the call of Jesus 2,000 years later is the same. Put my cause first. Put it first when you go to the bank. Put it first when you're in the marketplace. Put it first in the government. The call of Jesus is always, always has been, always is, and always will be. The call of Jesus is forever. My kingdom first, my cause first, my will first, me first. This old world you and I are living in today, you look at this world, you look at man's inhumanity to man, you look at the silliness, the stupidity, and the lack of decorum that exists in our world. This world of ours today needs more than anything for all of us as individual Christians to live in such a way that the world would see Jesus Christ living in every one of us. We don't need fine church buildings. We need dedicated Christians. We don't need eloquent preachers, and aren't you glad, because you sure don't have one. But we don't need eloquent preachers. We need steadfast Christians. We don't need vast storehouses of money. We need faithful Christians. We don't need large numbers. We need loyal Christians. We need men and women, boys and girls, who are themselves separated to Christ and whose dominant concern and their one goal in life is to put the will of God first and foremost above everything else. We're called by God to be the salt of the earth, and we're called to be the light of the world. How are we doing with that? That's what we need in our day and time, is to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Paul stated it quite eloquently in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." That is, I am to think His thoughts, I'm to talk His talk, I'm to do His deed. That is the business of the Christian. For me to live is Christ. The cause of Christ must be the most important thing in our lives. And we must first give ourselves to Jesus. That's another vital truth to be emphasized from the passage we took as our text this morning. That was the secret of the wonderful devotion on the part of those Macedonian Christians that Paul was commending. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. That, my friends, is the heart of the matter. When that one big question of giving our own selves to the Lord is settled, as I said a moment ago, 1,000 other little questions are automatically settled. And that's where we fail. It's at the point of giving ourselves, our own selves to the Lord, that so often we sadly fail as Christians. Because too often we propose that we're going to give Jesus little compartments in our lives. And then we want Jesus, we're going to give Jesus this little compartment of our life. And then we want Him to leave us to ourselves with the other larger compartments of our lives. Those early Christians did just what a Christian is in the world for. They did what you and I are here for. We're here to do the will of Christ. We're here to represent Christ. We're here to carry forward His kingdom. We're here to live so that others might see Jesus living in and through us. Look at that context of that passage. Look at verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. That passage tells us they gave of themselves voluntarily. Nobody coerced them. Nobody drove them. Nobody scolded them. Nobody cajoled them or begged them for money or shamed them into doing what they did. It says they were willing of themselves. Those Macedonians came and laid themselves, their very lives, on the altar for Jesus. When a man or a woman is willing to lay their very life on the altar for Christ, there's no problem in their wallet being laid on the altar for Christ. There's no problem with their generosity when the offering plate comes by. There's no problem with their commitment when it comes time for worship. There's no problem, no hesitation when they're asked to perform some work within the church. Far more important than all the checks you can ever write payable to the church is the writing of yourself into the right kind of service for a weary, sinful, lost humanity. Now, you'll notice what we haven't talked about this morning. We haven't talked about things like giving a tenth. We haven't talked about percentages and increasing weekly offerings or any of that this morning. We haven't talked about buying the Lord a number one at Whataburger. We haven't talked about different little plans and different little gimmicks that we can use to increase the offering to the Lord's church. That's not part of what I want to say today. Because what I hope we've talked about and what I wanted to talk about today was what was really important. And that's giving ourselves to the Lord. When we make Jesus the Lord and Master of our lives, when I'm ready to lay all on the altar for Jesus, I'm going to realize He owns what's in my wallet too. And when Jesus is the Lord and Master of our lives, our generosity in supporting the church with our time, our money, our talents, none of that's going to ever be an issue. And we'll understand that when that offering plate goes by, I'm saying, Lord, I love You this much. Write this down. It's on the final exam. I can give without loving. I can't love without giving. Here's the great question. Is Jesus Christ the Lord and Master of your life this morning? Not just part of your life, not just a compartment of your life. Is Jesus Lord and Master of all of your life? I've said this at least 1,000 times. This will make 1,001. If Jesus Christ is not Lord and Master of all of your life, He's not Lord and Master at all in your life. I don't know about your life. I don't know what's in your heart. But if you need to make changes for Jesus to be the Lord and Master of all of your life, if we can help you make those changes, come and let us do that right now as together we stand and while we sing.